It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Wednesday, April 3rd, with your host, me, Ray, and, well, Mr. Out the Door himself, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Doing great, folks. Always ask for the Out the Door price when you are negotiating a car deal. My hoodie says it, caredge.com. If we can help you out with anything car-related, let us give it a try. Dad, we're going to kick things off with used car update. Black Book. What do you see, Dad? What do you see? The wholesale markets for used cars, prices are going up, up, up. We are experiencing the heights of the spring selling season, meaning used car prices, both on the wholesale and retail side, are going up. Wait those 60 days. Get past Memorial Day, Dad. What goes up must come down. I'm calling it right now. We're going to see a significant price decline after these big price increases on the wholesale used car side. What do you, okay, all right, go for it. What do you make of it?
I just need you to define a significant price decline. What is, when you say significant, what does that mean to you? Is it 2% price decline, a 5% price decline? What are we talking about?
Worth waiting. So let's put that into context. No. Let's put that into context. Okay. If I had to pay Ubers for the next 60 days,
yes.
Let's say I had to spend $30 a day, you know, Monday through Friday on Ubers. That's $150 a week. So that's $600 a month. That's $1,200. I think there will be up to $1,000 worth of savings over the next 60 days on the used car market, just by getting past where we currently are, which is the height of the spring selling season, which it is a good time to remind folks. Now's the perfect time to sell your car. If there was ever a time of year to sell your car, it's during the height of the spring selling season. Maybe you can talk more about why the spring selling season is what it is. But yeah, Dad, I think there's going to be a price recession or price pullback on the wholesale and retail market 60 days from now, because we're seeing prices go up, even though there's no justification. Give me a justification for why used car prices should be going up right now when new car prices are cratering.
Because there's a shortage of good quality used cars. That's why. That's the only reason why. Dealers are battling at the auctions to be able to buy the good cars. So they're paying more. And we have seen for the past, I think, 3 weeks, a slight uptick in wholesale values. It's not major yet. You know, I mean, this last week was what, 0.39%? That's the most it's been over the last 3 weeks. Is that somewhat normal for this time of year? Yeah, if you go back and you look at the chart, absolutely it is. Spring is when somebody hit the light switch and the car business gets going again, especially in the Midwest and the Northeast. So you also have tax season. People are spending their tax refunds towards cars. Tax refunds are higher this year than they were last year. The scary thing, at least in my mind, is I think as of last week, the IRS had sent out $164 billion worth of tax refunds. Just to put that in the perspective for a second, that's $164 billion that the people gave to the government to use interest-free so that come March or April, they could get $3,000 back. I might suggest that you look at your withholding and you adjust that so that you're not just lending your money to the government for free. But that's a story for another day.
We'll put that to the side. Our CPA, practice will be in the near future. But Dad, so I want to make sure I understand. So you don't actually think there's going to be a big price decline after Memorial Day, or do you think that we are going to see prices of used cars come back? Because the point that I heard you make is, Zach, there's still not a lot of good quality used cars. My counter argument to that would be, yeah, and who cares? Because there's cheaper new cars that people are choosing instead, which is going to put even more downward pressure on used car prices.
I'm saying what I've been saying all year long is that sometime after Memorial Day is when we should see prices come back down to earth again. Now, do I think there's going to be $1,000 savings between now and then? I don't know. That might be a tad bit high, in my opinion. do I think we will continue to see some mild escalation in wholesale values for the next couple weeks? I do. We know it normally takes 6 to 8 weeks for it to impact the retail side of things. So, yeah, I think the end of May, the beginning of June, into the summer months is typically when we start seeing wholesale values and retail pricing come down on used cars. So, yes, wait 60 days and retail values will probably drop to some degree. I don't know. It's all going to depend on how significant the price reductions are on new cars and how significant the incentives from the manufacturers are on new cars as to how much it will impact used car pricing going forward.
There is a huge interplay between new cars and used cars. There always has been, and I think it is going to become even more pronounced over the next couple of months because we just got March sales data from all the OEMs. So let's actually turn our attention there because it ties into this.
Okay.
You know, whether there's going to be a huge price decline or not a huge price decline in 60 days. U.S. light vehicle sales through Q1, we have the updated data for many of the automakers. A few comments here. One would be that General Motors sales are actually down 1.5% year over year. And Buick is the bright spot, being up 16.4%. So, you know, one of the big three, and we'll get to Stellantis here in just a moment. Ford sales were up 7%. You can see that at the top of the screen. Mm-hmm. But Ford sales are, you know, the only bright spot here, because if we go all the way down to Stellantis, Dad, right here, sales down nearly 10% for the quarter. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Ram sales off 26% year over year. Jeep sales barely eked out a 1.8% increase. So to your question of, you know, how deep into their pockets will the automakers go to try and move the metal? I think I'm looking at two brands right here, or two automakers right here that represent multiple brands that are going to go deeper than they probably thought they were going to have to try and get consumers to buy their vehicles, which again would lower used car prices, especially comparable used car prices. And we're seeing this with Teslas actually, like across the board right now. Yeah.
So yes, on Stellantis products and on GM products, it would probably be more compelling to spend a few dollars more to get the brand new car than to spend a few dollars less to get the pre-owned car. And the reason for that, the brand new car is going to have a complete warranty and the pre-owned car will not. So yes, those are a couple manufacturers that are faced with the dilemma: how do we sell more of our product? How do we build our momentum back up so that we can see sales gains instead of sales losses? It seems to me that when it comes to Stellantis, there was no way in hell they went into this year thinking, guess what? We're going to see sales go up, because they knew what they had. And what they had was growing inventory levels, dealers being upset with the manufacturer because they weren't supporting the product enough through incentives. So and they knew that they had increased the asking prices, the MSRPs of the cars, like 61% over the last 5 years. They knew they were in for a bloodbath this year. Their dealers knew it. And you're seeing it in their sales numbers. So yes, they're going to have to increase incentives. They're going to have to, as the new terminology is today, readjust their MSRPs and lower both the invoice price of their vehicles and the MSRP of their vehicles commensurate with that lowering of the wholesale value of it. Yeah. So, if you're looking at a used Jeep in comparison to a brand new Jeep, well, with the incentives, the brand new Jeep might be, and more than likely would end up being, the better buy.
So think about that. There's this pressure being applied to a lot of the automakers, because it's not just GM and Stellantis that have had a difficult first quarter. There are others, and we'll review them in just a moment. And to be clear, there are winners here too. Toyota and Lexus are just like on the pantheon. Like, they are the best automakers ever. There was an incredible tweet from car dealership guy. It was like 28% of all gross margin generated by dealers.
29%. So, and they only represented 9% of all the vehicles sold, but yet they represented 29% of the total gross profit.
So, like, there are examples of automakers where what we're discussing doesn't make sense. So, if you're looking for a used Toyota and you want to wait 60 days to see a huge price drop, it's probably not going to happen because there's just less pressure on used Toyota prices because the manufacturer is not dramatically incentivizing the sale of their new Toyotas. There's no real reason to, with the exception of Tundras and Crowns. Those are some that we see big incentives on. And there's still not a lot of used Toyota inventory. But then flip the script and let's talk about Chevy products. Let's talk about Stellantis products, Jeeps and Rams and Chrysler and Dodge. In that case, there's going to be continued downward pressure over the next 30 and especially 60 days on the used car market because you have right now the seasonality of the market, which is another good reason why if you have a used car to sell and you can get out from under it, do it now. Absolutely do it now. The exception being like, you know, a low mileage Toyota or Lexus or Honda. But all the other brands, if you got negative equity, now's your chance to minimize that.
Yes. And there's let's talk about the one elephant in the room. And that one elephant in the room right now would be Tesla. And why I say that is their sales for the quarter were significantly below what Tesla had expected and what Wall Street had expected. Now, we know in the past when Tesla's sales weren't exactly what they wanted it to be, they always dropped their pricing. That's how they kept market share. That's how they kept momentum. That would indicate to me that since their sales target was off so much that we will shortly see significant price reductions in their new vehicles, which will further crush the values of their pre-owned cars. So if you thought it was relatively inexpensive to get into a Model 3 before as a pre-owned car, it's going to get much cheaper in probably less than 60 days on those. So there were many winners. Tesla was a huge loser, at least in the United States. Now, globally, Tesla did regain the number one spot for global sales, beating out BYD. But I would think we're going to see some significant price reductions on the new ones.
What do you make of Brandon from Car Questions Answered? Go check out Brandon's channel. What do you make of his tweet, Dad? He said, this is not just a Tesla problem. Demand is gone for the whole car market. Tesla is going to show it first because of their direct-to-consumer model. Other auto manufacturers to follow as dealers turn down allocations due to lack of demand for all vehicles. What do you make of his take here that we're seeing it first with Tesla because of their sales channel?
I think there's some validity to that, and the some validity is when you look at Ford dealers turning down some Ford allocation, especially on the EV side of things. Although the EV side of things have picked up dramatically at Ford because they reduced the prices so dramatically. And I think the other would be Stellantis, where we know that dealers are standing pat and saying, no more. We're turning down allocation. So there are some brands that I think that applies to, but it certainly doesn't apply to Honda. It doesn't apply to Toyota. Yeah. It doesn't apply to Hyundai at this point. It might to some degree apply to some of the GM product, but there's brand. It certainly doesn't apply to BMW. So there's certain brands that it will not impact, but I think the issue for Tesla is everybody set expectations for what they thought Tesla would do much higher than what they legitimately probably should have.
We'll leave the Tesla talk to the side for the moment. I'm going to just reiterate, I think 60 days from now, you will see correction in the car market, another one, and that will be driven by wholesale seasonality and wholesale used car prices doing what it does, being seasonal, which happens. I mean, again, we're at peak wholesale values the next maybe 1 to 2 weeks tops. So after Memorial Day, wholesale used car values will be going down, and new car sales are not as strong as expectations, to your point regarding Tesla. But I think that's more broadly an industry commentary, with the exception of Toyota, Honda, and Lexus. And as a result, you'll see increased incentives, which will drive down prices for new cars, which will drive down prices for used cars. That's my thesis. That's my hypothesis. We'll see 60 days from now. Before we jump back to the other automakers, I want to remind everyone, back at CarEdge.com, under resources, we have Deal School. There are tons of people on the internet that'll sell you a car buying course. Not us, folks. 100% free. Please go use it. If you like the content here and you're actually in the market to buy a car, please go use Deal School. It's 100% free. There's no strings attached. Dad, back to the sales numbers. Let's run through this.
Yes.
BMW sales up 1.3%, so below the industry average for the first quarter. BMW sales pretty much flat. Ford sales up 7%. General Motors, like we said, down 1.5%. Here you go. Honda up 17.3%. When you get rid of Acura and just look at Honda, up 21% year over year.
Mm-hmm.
Honda's crushing it right now.
Yes. Well, that's because they're getting inventory to their dealers again. It's amazing what happens to the volume of sales when you actually have cars to choose from. You know, you can't impact the volume of sales if you have no vehicles to sell. They now have vehicles to sell, and it shows.
Interesting dynamic at Hyundai Kia. Sales are actually off, pretty much flat, yes, but down almost 1% year over year. I think partly that's got to be because of how much they've increased prices. Hyundai Kia have increased their prices by 50%+ over the past 5 years. So you can't be too surprised here to see Hyundai Kia sales flat when mm-hmm. they've increased and jacked their prices up as much as they have.
No, that you know, they found out what the ceiling is. Okay, they've been spending the last 5 years trying to figure out how high they could raise the prices. They now know, especially on the Kia side of things, because Kia was off, 2.5%? So, yeah, on the Kia side of things, they have figured out what the ceiling is. My suspicion is that they will lower some of the pricing, especially on some of the slower moving stuff. The Kia Souls, the sales of that have dropped off dramatically. You know, the one thing that's helping Kia at this particular point in time is their EV sales.
Definitely.
So, but yeah, I think Kia Hyundai has been spending the last 5 years trying to figure out what the ceiling is, and they now know.
And just for context, guys, just Google search car price inflation space car edge. This is the chart. This is the data. And so you can see there, Hyundai Kia price is up 49.67%. From 2018 to 2023, Stellantis obviously up there over 50%. Honda up 29.43% inflation during that same period of time, 22%. So I wonder, as we go through this, if there will be a correlation between car price inflation and the numbers that we see. All right, we've got some brands I've never heard of, so we're going to skip over those. Lucid, wow. Mazda sales.
Well, wait a second. Lucid was off 25%. So if we use the Lucid measure for compensation for their CEO, who earned $379 million last year, my guess is that he just earned himself probably a $100 million bonus.
Insane stuff over at Lucid. Mazda sales, Dad, can't be too surprised about this, up 13.3%. Mazda, one of the few brands that's been really consistent with 0.9% financing, yes, as well as not jacking their prices up like crazy. Look at that. Mitsubishi sales, yes, up 35%. I think that's another example of affordable vehicles being what consumers want. And even Nissan, who's been struggling recently, their sales, you know, get rid of Infiniti for the moment here, up 8.5%. Another bright spot for the affordable vehicle option out there.
Yes, one would assume though that those figures are exaggerated because of the amount of fleet sales involved. Those are not retail.
We know as of March, 44% fleet sales over at Nissan. So yeah, that's a really good point. Rivian sales up like crazy. Obviously, really good growth there. Stellantis. So let's dig back into this. Dodge sales off 15.7%. Rams off 26%. Really expect to see huge incentives from Stellantis and even you know, bigger than what we've already seen. Subaru sales being up 6.7% makes sense. Subaru prices have been okay. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Tesla there before, up 4%. And then here's the real kicker, Dad. Toyota, exclude Lexus for a second, up 21.3% year over year. And they make the most money of all the automakers.
Yes.
And they are just crushing it.
And please don't exclude Lexus. And the reason why I say that is when you look at the two other major luxury brands.
Yeah.
When you look at it, Infiniti, they're down 11%. When you look at Acura, they're down 13%. 9.2%. So you can see that there's one brand, both on its luxury side and its mass market side, has figured out what the market is. And for the rest of the manufacturers out there, I'll help you. It's called hybrids, okay? Toyota bet big on hybrids. It's still working. That bet's paying off dramatically. It is, those vehicles are like a printing press for money when it comes to their dealers and when it comes to Toyota. So the future, in my mind, at least for the short term, when I say short term, probably 3 to 5 years, is still continuing to manufacture these hybrids and using those as a bridge to get to the other side for full battery electric vehicles or some other form of alternative fuel source, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you could be onto something there, Pops. I want to turn our attention to one thing GM specific, and then we'll come to the chat here for just a moment. So when we talked yesterday on the show, yeah, we talked about fleet sales, and we talked about that being a well that could potentially run dry. And there's a separate article in Automotive News. GM, yes, Q1 sales up 1.5% on lower fleet, retails up 6%. I'm wondering, Dad, just you know, the commentary in this article is around how fleet sales have actually fallen off over at General Motors. That being said, it's still about 20% of their sales every month are fleet sales, but they did see a 23% drop in fleet volume. You can see it. It says it right there. I am wondering, Pops, mm-hmm, is this the first sign of seeing some softening of fleet sales into the fleet market, which would then, if you have less fleet sales, that means you're just going to have even more cars sitting on dealers' lots. Like, I'm wondering if this is an early sign from General Motors that things are going to get worse before they get better.
Well, don't forget that last year, there was a tremendous volume in fleet purchasing. And that was to make up for the shortfall in replacing fleets during the COVID times. So we saw a major increase in fleet purchases last year. We've seen through the first 2 months of this year a continued increase in fleet purchases. And now suddenly we're seeing, at least on the GM side of things, that fleet is down a little bit. So that would indicate to me that the fleets, the major fleets, and by major fleets, I'm talking rental car companies for the most part, they have replenished their fleets of cars and are probably not nearly as aggressive in needing more cars very quickly. And one of the reasons for that is they've learned, because of COVID, that they can keep those rental cars in service with 60, even 70,000 miles on them before they get rid of them and take them out of their out of service. So that would indicate to me that as they've replenished these cars, they're going to hold on to them longer than they used to. There's no real need for them to turn them as quickly as they had traditionally.
So if you have less fleet sales, you're still going to have inventory being produced, which is going to put even more pressure, more downward pressure. So I wonder if at GM we're going to see next month fleet sales still not up for GM, but inventories and days supply of inventory continuing to go. From Jorman here, Pops.
Thank you,
Jorman. How would Tesla price drops affect other EVs like the Mustang Mach-E? Do you think they're closely correlated? I'm kind of torn on this.
I think whatever Tesla does price-wise impacts the EV market dramatically, because at that point, Tesla's competitors feel compelled to have to lower their prices in order to keep people interested in their vehicles. And we have seen, over the relatively short past, that Ford and others have dramatically reduced the asking prices of their EVs, because the whole key to moving EVs is price. It's affordability, and most
swap EV out. The whole way to move cars is price,
and
to move commodities.
And the thing is with car, I mean, we know Ford, GM, Stellantis, everybody is trying to subsidize the move to EVs by selling high content, high profit margin, high MSRP gas powered vehicles. And the public at this point is saying no, because they can't afford them any longer. So it's difficult for these manufacturers to A, lower the prices of their EVs to a competitive point where they'll sell while still making the money they need to make, forcing their dealers to take high-priced ICE vehicles. There's a conundrum there. There is a give and a take. And right now, my guess is if Ford is losing as much money as they are on every EV that they're selling, and they have to figure out ways to offer more affordable, lower price point vehicles with a lower profit margin for them, they got to be thinking to themselves, where's the money coming from that's going to finance our move to EVs?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. So, all right, so you're thinking they are correlated. We have seen other, Mach-Es and others go down in price as Tesla has reduced price. And
yes,
we'll continue to see that to stay competitive. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, they're trying to compete with Tesla. And the only way you do that is on price, unless you're Lucid. And it doesn't matter what the price is, because you're only going to sell 600 a quarter anyway.
Thank you, James, for the thoughtful contribution. We appreciate it. Great discussion ties into affordability challenges. Federal Reserve and interest rates will continue to impact consumers on auto loans and dealers on floor plan. Brands like Honda will benefit with lower priced vehicles. I think that's what we're seeing.
Yes.
I think that's right. So the Hyundai Kia numbers make that argument pretty clear, because Hyundai Kia sales are not up as much, yet their prices are up 50%. So I think the Hyundai Kia data is really the kicker here for that affordability piece coming into focus.
Oh, absolutely. And we've been harping on affordability for, 18 months now. And everybody else is finally starting to harp on it as well. And the manufacturers, many of the manufacturers, are finally realizing that even though they don't want to, even though they don't feel as if it's in their best interest to, they are starting to offer more lower priced vehicles. And you see it, you look at Buick's sales numbers. Well, yeah. Why do you think that is? The Invista is what, under 25 grand. You look at the Chevy Trax, under 25 grand. There are vehicles that move that are under $25,000 when the manufacturers build them and provide them to their dealer body. So
100%.
Yeah, it is. It's price. It's always been price. It always will be price.
Yeah, definitely. The Trax is one of the most common vehicles we see CarEdge customers buying, which is kind of mind-boggling me. I didn't realize so many people wanted to get their hands on a Chevy Trax, but when you can get one at under MSRP and it's, yes, sub 25,000, sub 27,000, it starts to make sense. From Silver Delta here, to get a laugh out of you, Dad, you'll likely get a great deal on a brand new 2022 Ram 1500 on New Year's Eve later this year. I think that's true.
Yeah, you likely would. Yeah, no, absolutely. Of course, you already have 3 years worth of depreciation. So
there are still new 2022s on dealer lots right now, which is absurd to say out loud, but that is definitely, definitely a thing. We've got here from William. Last week, I tried to buy a 2023, a new 2023, which again, we've got 25s coming out soon.
Yes.
Charger RT marked down from $46,000 to $34,755. The dealer added a $5,000 protection package. They would not take off the car. I told them to keep it. This was in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. We're going to continue to do crap like that. We are.
And I only hope that the lawsuit that was filed in the Fifth Circuit Court in Texas to delay the implementation of the FTC cars regulations, I only hope that would actually go to court soon so that we can get this resolved. Because the new cars regulations, as stipulated by the FTC, would prevent a dealer from listing a car for $12,000 below MSRP, only to then add a mandatory $5,000 protection package that was not included in the advertised price. Okay, that nonsense needs to stop. Just does. And there really shouldn't be a dealer out there that has any objection to stopping that nonsense. You know, I've said it to you many times. A dealer principal would be the first one to scream when somebody pulled a bait and switch or added pricing, added cost to something that they wanted to buy, but yet they feel comfortable doing it to their own customers. They should not feel comfortable, and they should not do it at their dealerships. And if all dealers would say, you know what, let's just adopt the CARS resolution, regardless of whether it makes it through the courts or not, it would be so much better for the industry. It would be better for the dealers. It would be better for their staff. And obviously, it would be much better for the buying public, who just wants to know how much they have to pay for the damn car.
I'm almost wondering if we should put together like a coalition of dealers that like already abide by the CARS FTC rules, and like, we could put a list together of like 1,000 dealers nationwide who, like, their car dealers, because they already abide by the proposed. For those of you that are unfamiliar, Google search FTC car buying rules, and our article for it will pop right up. Anyway, we'll save that for another day. From Rich Diana. Thank you, Rich. EV acceptance will take time. Like the days when cars replaced horses, it won't be done overnight. Yeah, I think we're definitely witnessing that right now. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yes, and I do want to know, is that guy's first name Rich and his last name Diana, or is that person's name Diana and she's saying she's rich?
It could be either way. We've got here from Squeegee Kid.
Thank you, Squeegee.
Good to see you, Squeegee Kid. What is the right amount of time for a new vehicle test drive? A few weeks ago, I drove a test drive of a Pathfinder. Dealer told me to go, told me where to go, and only lasted for 15 minutes. Seems really short for a decision on a $50,000 SUV. How did you handle test drives in your dealership, and what advice do you give folks?
Well, you know, the salesperson wants it to be as short as possible. Okay. The customer, I would think 20 minutes to a half an hour, where you drive on all types of roads, find a highway that you have to merge onto, drive your local roads that you would normally drive to and from work, whatever it is, so you can get a real sense of the vehicle. You know, that 5 minute circle that the dealership wants you to go on, which is nothing but right turns, that typically isn't going to give you a real accurate sense of what the vehicle is like. But it's kind of like when I went to buy my mattress. You lay on a mattress for 38 seconds. You go, oh yeah, this is great. This is not. You can't tell in 38. So you can't tell in 5 minutes on a mattress. You can't tell on a 5 minute test drive on an automobile. So, you know, I would recommend somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes, and hit all types of roads that you would normally try and drive.
We've got here from Angel. Thank you, Angel. Appreciate it. Hi, guys. Love your videos. I want to buy a Toyota Highlander from 2021 to 2023. You guys think it's a good idea or look for another car? No, I think it's a great idea. Toyotas are great. Toyotas hold their value well. If they've been well maintained, get a pre-purchase inspection on any used car. Toyota's the exception to the rule, too, of go look for a new one instead of a used one, because the used ones and the new ones are going to be expensive. But no, I would say look at the Highlander. I don't know. There's no reason I would say not to look at the Highlander.
No, you're just know that because it's a Toyota, it is going to retain a higher percentage of its original value than most cars. So it just means if you're buying it as a used car, you're going to be paying a lot for it. But if you're buying it as a new vehicle, you're going to be paying a lot for it.
100%. Let's talk about a vehicle you're paying a lot for, a Civic Type R. What would you say a fair price out the door is? These are selling over MSRP still.
Yes.
As far as I'm aware. So yeah, if you can get it at MSRP, that'd be a fair deal.
If you can get it at MSRP, then the dealer was probably asleep at the wheel.
I know there are some like the Ford Raptor Type R. $20,000 over MSRP is what they cost right now, which is
insane. I mean you need to find a Honda dealer somewhere that has one that doesn't have a market for it in their general area, and maybe they'll let it go at MSRP. But in most heavily populated areas with a limited supply of Type R's and a pretty large supply of potential buyers for it, you know, many of those dealers could just auction them off to the highest bidder and we'll get well above MSRP.
It's definitely where the market has been, that's for sure. We've got here from Mike. Thank you, Mike. I'm seriously looking at a 2024 Kia Telluride S. Should I wait for these price drops you're mentioning? I'm in a position to pay cash and can wait if need be. No, I would end of the month. Just do your negotiations, start them mid-month, close the deal at the end of the month, you're fine. I don't think we're going to see on like a Kia Telluride a tremendous price difference between now and June. I think there's a bit of an exception to some of those vehicles that have been a bit hotter. This is definitely not in Toyota territory. So you could be patient, but I don't think this is not like at the beginning of the show where I was saying wait 60 days because that used car is going to be worth $1,000 less. I don't see that.
The slowdown in sales at Kia has to do with their sedans and to do with the Soul, has nothing to do with the Telluride.
A little bit. Very, very, very little bit. But yeah. Little bit. We've got here Dad from Dane. Thank you, Dane. Walked into a GMC dealer that had a GMC CR2500 HD Denali Ultimate. Whoa. That had been on the lot for over 90 days. They still refused to budge below MSRP. Am I off base for asking for a few thousand off? I don't think so, but what's your take on this?
Well, I've said this a million times, and I'll say it again. You never get what you don't ask for. Listen, they're asking what they're asking. You ask what you want to ask. And then the idea is to try and find some type of compromise that works for both of you. I understand they don't want to go below MSRP. Well, you know, floor plan assistance has run out on that car. So, you know, that's an expensive car to have on your lot and to have to pay interest on. So if they still have that car towards the end of this month, see if they're ready to move off the price a little bit. You can still offer a couple thousand below. They can still say we're at MSRP, and then you can look at them and go, okay, what's a number between where I'm at and where you're at that would work for you and might work for me? So
I just looked it up, Dad, just for this particular trim, the Denali Ultimate. Our algorithm sends you for 5% off of MSRP. So I would talk to quite a few other GMC dealers in your area. And just to demonstrate here, folks, there are 2,200 of these for sale new nationwide right now. So it's not like there are a ton, but there's also not that few because this is a very expensive, as you can see by the MSRP. It's a $100,000 truck. So no, I would not be paying MSRP for that. I would use CarEdge.com and I would definitely be shooting for that 5% discount. All right, we've got another very thoughtful contribution here, Dad, from Hugo. Thank you, Hugo. How much more can prices go down? Ram is already 20% off. Can they lower even more? I'll let you answer that one.
Well, if they'd like to sell them, they can. You know, just if you've raised them 50% and you've now lowered them 20% and they're still well above what they transacted for in the past. Does that mean you stop lowering the price? Not if you'd like to sell them. The key in the automobile industry has always been the reason the customer hasn't bought it yet is you haven't lowered the price enough yet. So just because they've lowered it 20% doesn't mean that, I don't know, come May 1st, they might think there's a, okay, we got to lower the damn things 25%. Maybe that will move the needle. So,
and we're seeing it, to be clear, like we've seen the programs get more aggressive, not as aggressive as I'd like them to be, but over the past 2 months, we've seen the manufacturer incentives and the dealer willingness to discount.
Yes.
Continue to increase. So it is happening.
Yes. So the answer to the question is, can they lower them more? Yes. Will they ultimately lower them more? Well, if they're not selling, they will.
We've got here, Dad, from Jonathan Lyman. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm one of the 8 people on the planet that likes the Nissan Titan and Titan XD. With Nissan killing that line this year, where do you see prices going for new and slightly used? What happens when vehicles are taken out, Dad, when models are removed? Does that positively or negatively impact pricing?
It can be both. Now, as a new vehicle, it is going to negatively impact the price. The dealer knows it's the end of the line. They don't want to be sitting on this for a year trying to get rid of it. So they'll do whatever. A smart dealer will do whatever it takes to unload those vehicles. Okay. Now, having said that, how will that impact the value of pre-owned ones? Well, there will be a market for some of those. There are probably more than 8 people, maybe 10 or 12, that would even consider one as a pre-owned car. And because they stopped production on it, there will be the effect of, well, hey, there are no more. These aren't going to get fewer and fewer miles. They're only going to get more and more miles. So it could have a positive impact on some of the pre-owned ones moving forward.
Interesting. I'm trying to think of examples of this that have happened recently nothing's coming immediately to mind of like a vehicle that was taken out of production that we saw really aggressive or volatile price changes. So I think things will probably be fairly neutral, but then longer term, maybe it becomes this appreciating piece of metal, but probably not also at the same time. Baron of Gray Matter. Thank you, Baron of Gray Matter. Hey guys, can you imagine Nissan appreciating? Baron says, hey guys, new car prices are getting softer. However, used car prices are staying ridiculously high. What is going on? Seasonality. Baron, if you get a chance, go back and watch the first 10 minutes of today's show. It's all about seasonality in the used car market. Used car prices will go down after the spring selling season is through, which is like in the next month, but really play it safe, say the next 6 weeks or 60 days. And this is the time to sell a car. We have caredge.com/sell. If you're in a negative equity position, if you've got a car you're looking to get rid of, your trade-in value, the price you'll get if you were to sell that vehicle is the highest it will be this year over the next week. And then it all starts to go down. And this is just the normal seasonality of the used car market. So that's why you're seeing crazy high prices still for used cars. And of course, like we were talking about during the show earlier, certain brands, there's still just a huge shortage of quality used cars, Toyota, Honda, Lexus, etc. And then for others, you know, there's a decent amount of supply and also really, really strong downward pressure on the new variants, new car options, which is pushing even more pressure on the used car options. From Viper Dad.
Thank
Viper
you.
Viper SRT13. Thank you. Last time I told you guys that I sold my Fiat 500 Abarth at the peak and now I want to said, okay, am I reading that? At the peak and no, I want to said I got a 2007 Toyota RAV4 V6 for $9,000 out the door. Thank you for all the advice. It is very welcome. Good to feel useful, isn't it?
Yeah, I love to feel useful.
It's what we try and do, man. It's what we try and do.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah. Well, if we can be useful for you, please go check it out, caredge.com. That's the company my dad and I started 4-ish years ago now, if we can help you. But if we can't, that's also A-okay. We'll be back tomorrow to do our best. Yeri, keeping us on just a minute longer. We've got Hair Dad from Yeri. I got a 2024 Honda Civic hatchback touring boost blue with manual transmission for $35,000 out the door in Napa. Is that a good deal? Was it MSRP? If it was MSRP or lower, that'd be a good deal.
Yeah, you should be able to get slightly below MSRP, I would think, on one of those.
Yeri, let us know what the MSRP was, obviously, with taxes in California. I think
or high, yes.
Yeah, it's going to take it up above the original. Wow, everyone's keeping us on, Dad.
Yes.
Stop it, gig. This is very kind, but you don't have to donate, but it is fun. Hugo says, one last chat. Have you guys heard anything on the Ram Dakota? Do you guys think there will be one? And if there is, will be at the price, will Ram sell them out off topic? LOL. I don't know anything about the Dakota. What's the Dakota, Dad?
I don't know anything about the Dakota either. If I remember, wasn't the Dakota their smaller pickup truck at one time?
Oh, there's all this talk from all the automakers to do that. But obviously, like Ford's done it with the Maverick to great effect, but then doesn't supply it enough. I don't know. I think if all the automakers made cheaper, more affordable pickup trucks, people would probably buy them. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the whole affordability crisis. But Hugo, you just wasted $10. Sorry, man. We know nothing about the Dakota. That doesn't feel good.
Well, truth of the matter is we know nothing about a lot of things, Hugo.
Thank you, Hugo. We really appreciate it. Kevin, can you please give me your thoughts on used Audis? You used to sell Audis, Dad. What's your take? You used to run an Audi dealership.
I did. They're expensive to maintain. I will leave it at that. They're a fine, fine vehicle when they're brand new before they start to break down.
So you would have one under warranty?
Not out of.
Let's do the test here, Kevin. Here's putting this protection plans, mechanical coverage. What do we say? Audi. Let's do do you want to do a used one? So like a 2022 Audi A5?
Sure. They're popular.
That's got 36,000 miles. Okay, so if you want to protect, this is an extended warranty, a vehicle service contract for an additional 72 months and up to 150,000 miles, it would cost you $8,542 on that Audi. Let's do a quick refresh. And now let's do, so that was a 2022. What do you want to do now? Acura? Sure. Lexus?
No, do an Acura.
Acura. What's do comparable?
TL.
TLX.
TLX.
24 Arizona. Get quote estimate. Wait for it. It's thinking.
Oh my God. It's only $5,700 less, $5,800 less.
For those of you that listen to the podcast, the extended warranty widget coming in clutch here to demonstrate how expensive it is to own and maintain an Audi versus an Acura. $5,800 price difference in the same term contract. It would be the same thing if we popped a BMW in there. So I think that's a really good example of that.
Yeah, I think a few thousand more donations came in to keep us.
From James, good to see you, James, again. Thank you, Jonathan. I got a new 2024 Titan 2 weeks ago at 20% below MSRP. No dealer add-on, subvented interest rates on the Titans are out there. Great, great, great perspective, John. Excuse me, James. Thank you. We really appreciate you sharing that. Kimberly wants to know, will new car prices also go down in the next 60-day timeframe? I think so.
Well, yes, dealers will become even more amenable to negotiating the price. Manufacturers will probably increase their incentives.
Yep. Yep. So, and then we've got from Rich
again,
or Diana Rich. Yeah. I'm just keeping Ray from lunch.
and thank you for that. And I'm getting hungry. And Fly Chomper Fly, I believe, had a, buddy, here we go. Yeah. Oh, I'm rolling away.
Okay. All right, gang. We'll be back tomorrow with more news you can use. And also,
we've got
some new ideas up my sleeve that we might be working on here in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. But Pops, enjoy lunch. Thank you for your time as always. I love you very much. And great job dancing.
Love you too, handsome. And thank you for today. Even though we went, 18, 19 minutes longer than normal, it was still fun, ladies and gentlemen.
Dad, sometimes I love going long on this show because usually, we hit a threshold and I just can't last any longer. But here we go. Made it. Lasted even longer than I'm used to. And I feel good about that. So,
me too. I'll just leave it there. I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to be good. And you know how hard that is for me.
Very hard. All right. See you guys. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yes. Emphasis on hard. Yes.